Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you and worship you for the wonderful Word of the Living God. We thank you for this mighty book, this book that we have that tells us what we can do and who we are in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we talk about your name today, the mighty name, the name that's above every name, the name that every knee shall bow, that every sickness and disease shall bow to if we use the name of Jesus in faith. Lord, I ask you to reveal to us the truths of the mighty word of the living God as we talk about your mighty names, your name, the name that's above every name. And I praise you and thank you for this beautiful name, and bless the word as it goes out today in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Thank you, Father. Amen. Today, I'm going to talk about what the book has to say about the name of Jesus. Now, I probably won't be totally inclusive in all of the different places, but I'm going to show you some of the different ways that the name of Jesus is used here. And in this list, I'm going to show you about 10 or 11 or 12 places today that the Word of God in the King James uses the name of Jesus and what you can do. In other words, to start off with, the most important thing that anybody can do is what Peter was talking about in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching the gospel. He's telling people that they need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then he says in Acts 2:38, he said, if you will repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is a gift that we receive. In other words, Jesus Christ takes his name and he baptizes us into the Holy Ghost. Now, when we get saved, the Word of God says the Holy Ghost baptizes us into Jesus. But once we get saved, then Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. And so that's when the power comes upon us. Now, in Acts 2:38, Peter clearly says there, then Peter said unto them, repent. In other words, repent. That means turn from your wicked ways. That means you come to Christ to get saved. When you come to Jesus to get saved, you're living in the kingdom of darkness. In other words, the kingdom of hell. The devil is your father. You're living in darkness. And that's where most of the world, all of the world, I should say, is living there. It's amazing that even the church does not realize who they are and what they can do in the mighty name of our King. I know that devil deceived me for the majority of my life when I had no idea what I could do or who I was once I accepted Jesus Christ and confessed that mighty name, the name of Jesus. But the very first thing Peter tells them to do here in Acts 2, he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, when you get saved, Jesus remits. In other words, this word here, remission of sin, when he says he remits something, he means he washes it away. It's no longer there. So he takes your slate and he takes his blood and with his name, and when you come to Christ, he remits all of your sins. Now, that means your slate is clean. It doesn't make any difference what you've done, how long you've done it, or whatever. At the name of Jesus, when you repent and come to Christ and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Father raised him from the dead, like Romans 10, 8, and 9 says, you will be saved. And then if you'll believe that you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, then the Lord will baptize you in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you will absolutely have a power that's working in you to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. Now then, I think that's another reason so few people are walking in this mighty power in the name because they don't believe that the Holy Ghost has come upon them. They've never asked for that. You should ask for that filling every day of your life. Ask the Lord to fill you to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and ask Him in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I praise You and thank You for today. For I thank You that I have repented of my sins. I thank You that I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of my sins were remitted and they were all washed away. And I want to thank You, Father, for filling me with the Holy Ghost and with power and using me to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. Lord, thank You for the mighty name of Jesus. So, according to the book of Acts chapter 2, the very first thing we should do to step over into this mighty realm of power and of love and to be able to do the things the Lord told us we can do, we've got to come out of the kingdom of darkness and come over into the kingdom of God. So to do that, you repent from your sins that you committed when you were living in the kingdom of darkness. Because when you're a child of the devil, you're called a natural man. And a natural man's liable to do anything, say anything. You can never tell what a person that's lost is going to say or do. So those people that are living in the world, and it's taken me a long time to get to where I can begin to grasp this, that I technically have to be very careful when I walk out there in the world every day that I don't condemn people for what they do. Because I think that people should be holy, but the world can't be holy. They don't know how to be holy. It's impossible for them to be holy because they're children of the devil. So all you can do is pray for them, rebuke the enemy over them, and be an example of the love of Christ to those people as you walk through. So we as Christians need to walk through the world taking the name of Jesus and telling people this is the way they get saved and then get them filled with the Holy Spirit. Now then, once you do that, then a power comes upon you. Now then, when this power comes upon you, the power in the name of Jesus is a great and mighty power. Now, it's absolutely amazing what kind of things can happen to you after you begin to believe in the name of Jesus and what it can do. But let's go to Acts chapter 3. Let's just go step over just a little bit here, and let's see what these things happen. Let me read a little bit here in Acts chapter 3, verse 2. And it says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms or money. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and he said, 'Look on us.' And the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Now, think about what he's doing here. He is taking the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. A while ago, we talked about getting saved by using the name of Jesus. Now we're looking to see what we can do with this power once we receive the Holy Ghost, once our sins are remitted, and once we become children of the King. The Lord is trying to tell us here what we can do in the name of Jesus. Because Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In other words, when you get a hold of the fact that these things have already been done, Jesus completely defeated and destroyed the works of the devil. He completely healed every human being on the cross 2,000 years ago. Now then, what you've got to do is take away from the devil by force with "it is written" to drive him out so you can walk in divine health. Now, when you get a hold of that, when you get a hold of the fact that Jesus Christ has already healed you on the cross, He's already given you all power over the devil on the cross, He's already given you healing, salvation, deliverance. Everything is yours. All you've got to do is repent. Now, if you're not willing to repent and turn from your wicked ways, then you don't have power over the devil. In fact, after you become a Christian, if you do repent and your sins are remitted, and you come over into the kingdom of God, and then you start listening to the devil and you go back into the world after you got saved and cleaned up and start sinning again, then as long as you're living in sin, you're opening the door to the devil, and the devil has legal right to come and get you, and he will torment you with sickness, disease, all kinds of things, and you will have no power over him, not even in the name of Jesus. But when you repent, then you can drive out the devil, because when you repent, you come home to Jesus. And anyway, as these men, he said, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which had set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, think about that. It was by faith in the name of Jesus that this mighty miracle happened. Faith in the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to continue on right here tomorrow. I want to invite you to call us at our ministry center at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we have free audio, video, and CDs. We will send you any of our teachings or send you a little packet of audio, video, or CDs for you to look at, listen to, and if you like them, we'll send you more. But we also can, you can also get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order our stuff, and you can listen to a lot of our teachings. They're on the web. Praise the Lord, and have a great day in Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I worship you and praise you and thank you for the beautiful, wonderful things that you do. I thank you for the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that says with this name, nothing is impossible. No Christian should live in defeat with the precious name of our Savior Jesus. We need to realize that we have victory over the enemy, and we can do all things through the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I praise you and thank you for the name of Jesus. As we talk about these things from the Word of God today, I ask you to bless these things to the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to continue on here now on talking about the mighty name of Jesus. We're in Acts chapter 4 right now, and I'm going to start with verse 12, where we was talking about what happened yesterday in the name of Jesus, how Peter and John raised up a man that had been down, lame, for 40 years. I want you to see in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, what Peter has to say. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that means that there's no name under heaven. If you're trying to be a child of God and you're using any name other than the name of Jesus, it means you can't be saved. In fact, I was just watching a program on one of the Christian television stations just recently, and there was a man on there that was a Muslim. This man is now a pastor, a teacher of God's mighty word, and he was a very affluent Muslim. And at the age of about 35, he came down with a very serious sickness, and he was technically on his deathbed, and he cried out to Allah. He cried out to Mohammed, and nobody came. Then he cried out, he said, if there is a God of any kind, if there is a true God, I need to know who you are. And he said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth walked into his hospital room and touched him and said, I am God, and my name is Jesus. And that man was completely healed, and now then, of course, he is on fire for the Lord teaching the word. So if you're a Muslim or any kind of a person, it makes no difference who you are. When you're touched with the King of the universe, and his name is Jesus, then you will know that this Bible is true. Because Peter's saying, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now then, when these men saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Now, these were the elite men of the day, and here's a couple of fishermen. These guys don't know nothing, but they are seeing the Lord do great and mighty things. And he says, these men marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, when you've been with Jesus for a while and you learn what you can do, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a doctor of theology. All you got to do is know who Jesus is and know how to use his name. And verse 14 says, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them. And it is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in this name. Now, isn't that amazing? That you do a miracle in the name of Jesus, and a poor old 40-year-old lame man gets up and walks and runs and play, and the religious group of that day didn't want this to continue. Well, that tells you who was running the religious group of that day. It was not God. It was the devil. So only the devil would want to keep people from getting healed and delivered. So that same devil that was there then that didn't want this name to spread any further, he's still out here today. And so in verse 18 of Acts chapter 4, it says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, isn't that amazing that a group of men, supposedly religious leaders, would take a couple of fishermen that had taken this mighty name, the name of Jesus, and they had done a mighty work, a mighty deed in the name of Jesus. What they'd done was they'd driven the devil out of a man, and this man was miraculously healed. But whenever they were commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus, in Acts 4:19, Peter and John answered them and said unto them, would it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God? You'll have to judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now then, when you have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's become real to you, you will have to speak in his name. Whenever he comes and speaks to you or gives you revelation or appears to you or whatever he does, when you have this kind of revelation, you can't do anything except speak in the name of Jesus. So when they said they would continue, in Acts 4:21 it says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men had glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years of age, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now they're out there telling everybody what the religious group had said. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now that's what we need to do. We need to realize this is God's battle. It's not ours. So whenever they were threatened, they realized it was the devil speaking through these men. And so they went to God. And they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They were all praying. I can just see that group of men and women with their hands raised, praying and calling on the name of Jesus. And they said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, the kings of the earth stood up. This is the devil and his demons. Satan and his host is rise up and all of the rulers, and they're gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's Satan and his host. And they're coming against the Lord to destroy Jesus. And they're still out there in the battle, still raging today. For of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined for to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness. Now see, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to ask for boldness so that we can come against the enemy, realizing that we're on God's side. We're not trying to get him to do something he's reluctant to do. He wants to do these things. But we need to have this boldness that we may speak the word. And then by stretching forth your hand, Lord, to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Now then, this is the way we need to pray. We need to pray on a regular basis. We need to say, Lord, according as your power, we need to absolutely be speaking these mighty things and speaking them in faith, nothing wavering, because that it's the name of your holy child, Jesus. And in verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, that's what we all need. We need the mighty Holy Ghost. We need that power to come upon us. We need to ask the Lord to fill us every day, so that we will be just like these people with one heart and one mind, so that everything we do will be according to the Word of God. Now, I praise the Lord for the privilege to teach His Word. Now, after all these things had happened that we're just talking about here, and these people telling them not to speak in the name of Jesus, as we go on here in Acts 5:38, and it says, now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. Now, there's one wise man in this council that's giving good counsel to these men in Jerusalem, telling them to refrain from these men. In other words, let Peter and John and all these men alone. For if this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But he said, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. Well, that's what these men were doing. They were letting the devil in them fight the battle, because the devil, you know, he works through people. And to him they finally agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Now look at what these men, look, they beat the apostles. They whipped them probably with a cat of nine tails, all for the healing of a poor old sick man that was over 40 years of age, that's sitting Can you imagine being beaten for that? Now, this just shows you this is the devil, because no human being, if you do a miracle, heal somebody, a cripple, I mean, that's what people go to doctors for, try to get healed. But it's obviously that many doctors can't do these kind of things. But now Jesus can, and the name of Jesus can. And so they had healed this sick man, this feeble man, and after he had gotten healed and was able to run and jump and play, they called the apostles together, and they beat them, and then they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, the reason the devil don't want you to speak in the name of Jesus, because he knows the power of the name of Jesus. And it says in verse 41 of Acts 5, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. And as the numbers of the people were continually increased, these men were doing all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I'd like to invite you to call us for free audio and video and CDs, teachings of all kinds. We got many teachings, and they're all free. We'll send you anything you want. If you want to come to our website, you can come to www.tlsm.org. Now, we have many teachings on our website that you can listen to anytime you want to. There's almost a whole year's worth of them on there that you can listen to anytime you want to. Just go on there and double-click on one of them and listen. But we'd be happy to send you audio and video tapes. We have healing schools. We teach healing schools. All that information is on the website. We see God heal many people. Our phone number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Just give us a call. We'll be happy to send you these tapes. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I worship you and praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessings of God. Thank you for the owner's manual, the word that we have. I'm so grateful for this owner's manual, Lord. I'm thankful that this book tells us who we are, what we can do, power we have over the enemy, and what you've done for us on the cross, and that we can live the abundant life when we read and learn this book. Lord, thank you that we're sons and daughters of the King. And you didn't leave this earth and left us powerless, but you left us your name. And with the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we can get mighty things done for the kingdom of God. I praise you and thank you for this day. Now, bless the word as it goes out today, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, this week we're talking about the places in the scriptures where it talks about what we can do in the name of Jesus. Now, it took me a lot of years to realize that I had this mighty name to use, and it was given to me where I can use the name of Jesus to walk holy before God, to walk in over power over the enemy, to walk in power over sickness and disease, and I don't have to be sick anymore. I don't have to yield to the devil no more. I don't have to walk in his kingdom no more because I have the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, great and mighty things has happened and will happen, as we're confirming here from Scripture what has happened. And I'm going to continue on now. Right now we're in Acts chapter 8. We've just come past chapter 7, where Stephen was stoned for serving the Lord. Now, it's amazing that as Stephen went about doing signs and miracles and wonders, and they stoned him and killed him. It's amazing that the devil is doing everything he can through mankind to get inside of men so he can kill other men. He wants to take you out. So you got to realize you're in a war. So you need to prepare for war. Because when we go to Acts chapter 8, we'll see there that Saul, which was fixing to become Paul, one of the great apostles, but Saul here, he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. He had just watched them stone Stephen to death, and he thought he was serving God. And it says, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. So if you're in a church that's doing something good for Jesus, you're leading people into the kingdom, you're producing signs and miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus, I can assure you the devil's going to come against you. So get ready for it. It's just a fact of life. Just like they did here in Jerusalem, they came against the church because there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And it says here that this great persecution, and because of it, they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And it says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. Now, of course, he had just been stoned. And it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling or men and women, committing them to prison. Just think, here is the great apostle Paul, that here he is still called Saul, and he's going into the homes and getting people and calling and hauling them out and putting them in jail if they're just Christians. Now, these are men and women. He said the men and the women, he committed them to prison. Now, isn't that amazing? The devil, what the devil can do, even when he's inside of a man like Saul, which was later to become Paul, the great apostle. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, of course, if you got Jesus in you, because of the persecution, you go somewhere else. If Jesus Christ is in you, and he's really in you, and especially if you've had the privilege to walk in signs and miracles and wonders, you're going to have to tell people about the best thing that ever happened to you. And you'll go preach the word. Then it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, wait a minute. See, now here is what brings people to Christ. When you go and do things in faith in the name of Jesus, it doesn't make any difference if it was Stephen or Philip or whoever it was, that when you preach there, the things which Philip spoke, they were hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So he was taking the name of Jesus, and he was doing great things. And let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 7, and see what he was doing. It says, for unclean spirits. Now, these are evil spirits. It says, these unclean spirits were crying with loud voices, coming out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. Now, this man obviously is filled with the Holy Ghost and power. I personally have never seen a person with cerebral palsy instantly healed. And I have seen some lame people healed. I've seen that several times. In fact, I was just down in Louisiana just a few months ago, and there was a man brought to me there, and he was on the front row, and he had both legs straight out. And when after a couple of hours of teaching, I went over and asked him what his problem was, and he said that a tractor had run over his knees about 2 years ago, and that the doctor said he would never walk again. I said, but sir, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? He said, absolutely, I know Jesus can do anything. I said, well, that's the kind of faith the king is looking for. I said, in John 14, 13 and 14, Jesus made us a double whammy back to back, saying anything we asked or anything we demanded in the name of Jesus, the Father would do it for us. So I said, why don't we take that verse and let's ask the Father in Jesus' name to heal and restore your crushed knees and believe that you can walk. He said, I believe that. I said, okay, Jesus said it, that's good enough for us. So I laid my hands on that man's knees. I took those two promises and the name of Jesus. Now, I asked the Father in the name of Jesus to be merciful to his son, is here and heal and restore those knees that a tractor had run over nearly 2 years ago and completely heal those knees and make those ever whole. I said, Lord, thank you. It's done because it's written in your word. I said, now, brother, do you believe God? He said, I believe. I said, good. I said, pull your britches leg up and take those braces off your legs and throw them down and let's stand and walk in the name of Jesus. So the man raised his britches legs up. He pulled those things that he had, that his breeches laid up, and took that steel that was under his pants. He took it all off. And then I told him, I said, now then, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. He reached up and took my hand, and I lifted him up just like Peter and John did, that man we talked about earlier this week. I told him to rise and walk in the name of Jesus. The man rose up. Whenever I lifted him up and he stood up, his knees bent a little bit, and the first thing he said was, oh, my goodness, it hurts. I told him, I said, I know the devil will make it hurt, but I said, don't you dare believe that devil. I said, walk in the name of Jesus. And I give him a jerk, and I said, come on, take a step. And he took a step, and I give him another little tug. I said, take another step, and he took a second one. I said, come on, take another one. And by this time, he took the third step. I turned him loose. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And I turned him loose, and I said, you're on your own. And he started walking toward the podium, which was only about 5 or 6 steps away. But he walked around the podium 3 times and then broke and ran to the back of the church and all the way back to the front screaming, God is awesome. God is awesome. Well, let me tell you. The name of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, he glorified his Son Jesus one more time. By faith, we took the name of Jesus and we saw this man completely healed. Just like these things happen here in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is still going on to those that believe. And whenever it happens, it'll happen just like it was here. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 8, it says there was great joy in that city. But then said there was a certain man called Simon, which beforehand in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now, this man had a devil in him, a demon in him, and he was doing signs and wonders, but he was contributing the power to himself instead of to the Father. And so it says here that, and to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now then, here, when a man of God comes in with the name of Jesus Christ and people repent and get baptized, both men and women, including Simon, the sorcerer, he himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now then, even the man that was controlled by the devil, when he saw the true signs and miracles and wonders, he was absolutely awestruck. And verse 14 says, now when the apostles which were of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto him Peter and John, who when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you got to remember here, you've got to have this baptismal power of the Holy Ghost. Just like in the book of Acts here, these people, once they had received Jesus, and even though they'd been baptized in the name of Jesus, they still didn't have any power. But they hadn't received the infilling or baptismal power of the Holy Ghost. So, when they were asked, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Well, you see, that's the way the enemy's doing us today. He's doing the same thing to us. I was raised up in a traditional a denominational church that does not believe in the Holy Ghost power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we never saw any miracles and signs and wonders. I didn't know there was such thing available. I don't think we ever saw an answer to prayer that we could contribute totally, completely to an answer to prayer, or at least very few, because we didn't know who we are, what we could do. We didn't know about the Holy Ghost. And so, finally, when you get a hold of this, and you begin to believe God, and you read this book, and you start getting away from the traditions of men and start believing what the Word says, you find out, hey, you can do great and mighty things once you ask the Father in the name of Jesus for Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and power and to use you in a mighty way to produce signs and miracles and wonders in His name. When you believe that, he will do that. And after you believe that and begin to see the Lord do these great, mighty signs and miracles and wonders, you can't never be the same after that. I'd like to ask you if you'd like to have any of our teaching. They're free. We'll send you audio and video teachings. We've got many over the last several years of our healing schools. We teach a healing school in the Dallas-Justin area, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, where it's listed on our website. We have two healing schools a month, and we've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people healed in those healing schools over the last 6-7 years. So those are there, and also all of our material is free. If you like it, call us at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or go to us on the web at www.tlsm.org and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you and worship you for this beautiful day. Every day is a beautiful day when you know Jesus. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for showing us all these wonderful things all throughout the Word of God, especially in the book of Acts, what we can do in this mighty name of Jesus, a name that is given to us that is absolutely a most magnificent name, the name that overcomes all sin, all enemies, all sickness, and all disease. And to think that in the name of Jesus, we have all power over the enemy. Lord, I praise you and thank you for the beautiful name of Jesus. Now, bless the word today as it goes out, that you might take your word and use it mightily to bring glory and honor to your name. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, as we're going through the book of Acts here, we're on up into chapter 9 here, and we'll find out what's fixing to happen to Paul, or Saul, how after he had his Damascus Road experience here, and how that he had had authority from the chief priest to bind all them that call on this name. In other words, when Saul left Jerusalem, he went out to take authority over everybody as he was doing there in Jerusalem. He was going out getting men and women, throwing them in prison for believing in the name of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? But the Lord said unto him, in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him, Paul, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, Paul did suffer. As we go on into the New Testament, you will find out the great and mighty things Paul had to go through. And praise God, so far, most of us have never even come close to experiencing these great and terrible things that Paul experienced. So you and I both need to be grateful to the King that we have the privilege to share the name of Jesus in America, in freedom. Right now, we're still free. We will suffer persecution. In fact, I took the name of Jesus, and I was getting people saved and healed and delivered in the workplace. And as I prayed for my men and everything and asked the Lord to bless not only my company but the men, of course, I was using the name of Jesus. And this took place quite a bit for many years, but when I really got to where I did it every day on a regular basis, it wasn't long until HR got involved, and they commanded me, just like these Pharisees and Sadducees did, to stop using the name of Jesus in the workplace. Now, I was the manager over a large corporation. I was a regional engineer, and I worked in management. And although I worked directly for a VP, when the VP retired, after he retired, then, of course, I'm up in my 60s by this time, but I'm seeing the Lord do great and mighty things in the workplace, heal people, deliver them. I'm teaching men how to pray over their jobs, how to get them knowledge and wisdom from the Lord, showing them how to fix equipment and doing all kinds of things. And I've got a praying group of men. And the devil didn't like what was happening, and he had the younger men in HR from our corporate headquarters, as well as the local area that I was over, they come against me, and told me I had to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And I told him, no, under no way. The name of Jesus is where the power is. And they terminated me after 29 years with a corporation, and all because I would refuse to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. Well, I consider it pure joy. At least I wasn't beaten and thrown in prison like Paul and John and Peter and all them were. But these men, I pray that these men that kicked me out will get saved one day and come to know who the real king is, because it's obvious they don't know who he is. But anyway, and it says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on Paul and saying, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, when he had received food, he was strengthened, because he had been there 3 days with nothing to eat or drink. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, Is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name, the name of Jesus, in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, isn't it amazing that the man that they had got convinced to go out and kill Christians, when Jesus came and presented himself to him on the way to Damascus, and he saw the light, heard the voice, saw Jesus, and he got saved, and then, of course, he was blinded by the light, and then the Lord restored him, filled him with the Holy Ghost, opened his blind eyes, and everything. This same Saul now is... the Jews are going to take counsel to kill him. He was one of their men. It's just like kind of like the mafia. When you take the mafia or a group of hitmen, and one of them is going to be a killer and go out, they work together. But when one of them wants to leave the organization, then they want to kill him. They don't want him to get out. So this is exactly what's happened to Paul. And it just goes to show all of these people are controlled by the enemy, or these evil spirits, which is Satan and his host. But their laying away was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, and they led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Isn't it amazing? It appears when you read this book in detail, everybody wants to kill you regardless of where they're from when you start preaching in the name of Jesus. These, even the Grecians, after he started speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus, they went about to slay him or kill him. Now then, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. And then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. Now, it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. And as we go down through here, it says, and they found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and he was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes thee whole. arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Simon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now then, I'm telling you, if you take a group of people at a town, if you go into a place where nobody has heard about Jesus, and you start preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, in fact, you can be anywhere. You can be in a place where a city where Jesus has been proclaimed, but there's been no miracles, no signs, no wonders, no nothing take place. And the people say, oh, yeah, them people down at that church, you know, they're a little flaky. There's something wrong with them. You know, they go down to that church every Sunday. But I'd whole lot rather go out and fish or go boating or hunting or something else on Sunday. You know, church is just something that, you know, weak people or old people do. Well, the reason people think that is because we've not walked in the power of the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you take the name of Jesus, it's amazing what you can see. In fact, I just had one of the men that goes to my church. He was telling me just this last week about a miracle. As he has shared our videos and audios and CDs and things with people all up and down his workplace, there's several people work there, and how they've all been so inspired by the teaching of the Word of God and how their faith has been built. He said one of the little ladies that was a cleaning lady, a little Spanish lady, from Mexico, poor, underprivileged people that have been beat up on by the enemy that come up here from Mexico that have nothing, and they have no knowledge, no education, so they do what jobs they can, and one of the jobs they can do is clean buildings and so forth. So this little lady was kind of a janitor in our building, and she was working, but she had a sister that a couple of 3 days before had been stung all over her face and neck by a bunch of wasps. She'd got somewhere in a huge wasp nest, and they just stung her just all over. I mean, her head was swelled up. Her eyes were swelled closed. Her nose had swelled shut, and her throat was swelling closed, and she couldn't breathe, and they had no money. So because they had no money, they couldn't take her to the doctor. Well, it said Sunday morning. This happened, I think, on Friday, and she was so bad by Sunday that her dad came over to see her. He heard about it, and when he saw her, he said, I'm getting her to a doctor somehow, money or no money, we're going to take her to the hospital. Well, they took her to the hospital. They looked at her, done a couple of blood tests, and said, there's nothing we can do. You need to call in the family. Said, she's dying. Well, Monday morning, that woman, that cleaning lady, was back out there at work, and she was telling some of the men and women what had happened. And as the men and women of God, they go to my church, and when they went to lunch Monday, they were talking about this, and one of the men, it's a real strong prayer warrior, he said, well, my goodness gracious, there's not any use in us letting that woman die. Let's take the name of Jesus, and let's ask the Father in Jesus' name according to some of these mighty promises. And they all stood on Matthew 18:19, where Jesus said, again, I tell you that if just two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. They took that verse, Matthew 18:19, the four of them agreed in prayer. They came against the enemy, commanded the enemy to leave that woman that stung her with all them wasps and all that poison to leave her body, and for the Heavenly Father to restore her in the name of Jesus. And they thanked him and praised him for doing it. And the next day, when the woman came back to work, she was hysterically happy. They prayed at noon that day, and by 9 o'clock that night, that woman, which had been terminal that morning, they said couldn't live through the day, by 9 o'clock that night was completely healed, all of her swelling gone, and she was released and came home to the hospital by 9 o'clock Monday night. And I'm telling you, this group of people was ecstatic, praising God. Well, now that's what you can do with the name of Jesus when you do things in faith. We have many testimonies like this and many teachings on these things. We'd be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. All you need to do is call us at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. That stands for The Living Savior Ministries, tlsm.org. And there you can order free audio, video, CDs right there. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, as we go through the Word of God talking about the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask you to bless and anoint the Word of God As it goes forth, you will give us revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what we can do in the mighty name of Jesus. As we are sons and daughters of yours, Lord, there is no limitations to what we can do in your name. It all revolves around faith. What we believe we can do by faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation you've given us. Thank you for giving us the owner's manual and telling us what we can do. Now, Lord, help us to understand who we are and what we can do in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the word. Bless it and reveal it to us as it goes out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in Acts chapter 9, starting off verse 36 today. We're talking about these great things that has been going on, what's been happening, and what people do in the name of Jesus. And I've shared with you a few testimonies this week about some of the things I've seen the Lord do in the name of Jesus. I have seen him do many, many wonderful things when I've used his name. I mean, even like this example we're going to talk about right here in verse 36. And now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick. Now there's the enemy. The devil is there. The devil is the one that puts sickness and disease upon us. But this woman was sick and she died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Now, why do you think they wanted Peter? Because Peter was a man of great, precious faith. After Peter got there, said, then Peter rose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Now, this is the secret. You know, instead of looking at the coats and the things that people do, if they're still young enough, if they haven't fulfilled their life. Now, of course, the Bible says that we're all going to die physically someday. Now, we have a whole lot more control over that than we realize. So we don't have to die until our days are fulfilled. But we must walk holy and in faith to be able to fulfill those days. But obviously this woman had not fulfilled her days. But anyway, it says, but Peter put them all forth and then kneeled down and prayed. Now, of course, another thing you need to do is when you got a bunch of believers, supposedly, that are unbelieving believers, that's what you need to do. You need to put them all out. When he says he put them all forth, then he kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. Now, think about this. This was a man of great faith. Peter was a man that believed he had power over death, just like Jesus had told him, that in the name of Jesus, when we speak in the name of Jesus, nothing's impossible. But most of us, our Jesus is not very big. He is a little bitty Jesus. I know mine was a lot of years of my life being raised up in a traditional denominational church. I had no idea of how powerful the name of Jesus really was. But Peter, he had learned. And as he put out all those people and kneeled down and prayed, and that's what we all need to do. We need to learn how to kneel down and pray in faith. And then after we prayed and asked God what he wants us to do in this situation, it's obvious Peter got revelation from God and the Lord told him what to do. And that was to raise this woman from the dead. So Peter turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Now, think about that. A lot of people, you know, if you even think about trying to raise somebody from the dead, most people don't believe. I know several years ago, there was a man that had worked with me for many years, and in the wee hours of the morning, he had a heart attack and died. He also was a member of a denominational church. Not the same one I was in, but still it was a denominational church that didn't believe that the mighty power of God and the name of Jesus would produce these kind of results. So this man died. He had a heart attack. And his son-in-law came over and they tried to resuscitate him. He was a paramedic. They shock treated him. They done everything they knew to do and they could not bring him back to life. So they finally give up. They quit. And about 20 or 30 minutes later, the son-in-law called me and said, Thurman, we've lost so-and-so tonight. And I just wanted to let you know that he's gone. He had a heart attack and died. I said, let's pray. He said, no, Thurman, it's too late to pray. He's been dead 20 or 30 minutes. I said, it's never too late to pray. This woman, Tabitha, right here, here, Dorcas, she had been dead who knows how long. Maybe hours, you know, but after she died, they sent for Peter, and Peter was a long ways off. So who knows? It might have been several hours, might have been a day. But anyway, a lot of time had went by. Well, today we got telephones, and this man called me, and this man had only been dead 20 or 30 minutes. And when I said, let's pray, he said, Thurman, it's too late to pray. He's dead. I said, it's never too late to pray. I mean, never, when you pray in faith. And he couldn't fathom that. So I said, then I will pray. So I rebuked the spirit of death, commanded the spirit of death to get his hands off of this brother of mine, take him, loose him in the mighty name of Jesus. And then I asked the Father in Jesus' name to put the spirit of life back in him and bring him back to life. Now then, that's pretty awesome. I had the faith to do that, and God did it for this man. This man was in his early 60s, and this man came back to life. He started breathing. They took him down to a hospital here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Actually, the hospital was in Irving where they took him. They took him down there, and of course, his son-in-law told me, he said, Thurman, he's breathing. I don't understand what's happened. Oh, well, I understood what happened. I rebuked the enemy, the spirit of death, and asked the Father in Jesus' name to put the spirit of life back in him, and he did. And so he said, I'm going to take him to the hospital in Irving. I said, okay. It was, two or 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was, wee hours of the morning. I said, okay, I'll get up and come down there. So I got up and dressed, and I drove way out from where I lived, out way out northwest, and it took me an hour, hour and a half to get down there. When I got down there, I walked into the hospital, and I saw a doctor there, and I asked him if he knew where this certain man was, and he said, yeah, he's right down in that room. I said, how's he doing? He said, well, he appears to be stable, but said he'd have been better off if he died. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the paramedic said he didn't have any oxygen to his brain for 20 or 30 minutes. So he said, if the guy recovers, he'll be a vegetable. I said, no. I said, doc, you see those hands? I held my hands out in front of him. And he said, yes. I said, Jesus told me there's healing power in those hands. Jesus told me clearly in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say they'll be a vegetable. Well, the man thought I was absolutely a fool. He didn't say a word. He just turned and walked off. And so it's amazing how many people that your Jesus is so tiny. You know, if your Jesus is so tiny, you won't be able to see Jesus do any of these mighty things. But I'm telling you, Jesus is awesome. So I went in that room. I quoted Mark 16, 18. I said, now, Father, you said for me to lay my hands on this man and you'll heal him. So I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. 2 or 3 weeks later, the man's back at work. He's better than he ever was, and he worked until he retired, and that man's still alive and well today, many years later. And it was all because I believed God's word and took the name of Jesus and spoke it and saw the Lord do a great and mighty work in that man's life. Now, that's what you can do by faith in the name of Jesus. Now, let's go on a little further here, and let's look at some other things that we can do with evil spirits in the name of Jesus. We're going to go on over to Acts chapter 16, where Paul now is a true man of God. Everybody realizes he's a son of God. He is definitely on fire for Jesus. And so, and Paul goes into a city, and it says, then a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, had heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide with me. And so she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Now, this is in Acts 16, 16. Now, Paul here is a young woman that is possessed with a spirit of divination. And she met them, and she which brought her masters much money by soothsaying or telling fortunes. Now the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. Now, you think about what this woman did here, and you think about this woman, you know, for many days she was telling these people these things. Now then, let's see what happens. In the scriptures, it says that as this woman followed Paul and telling people how to get saved, she was telling everybody the way of salvation, and this she did for many days. You know, I mean, we would normally say, hey, this is what this is all about. We want people to come about and tell us how to be saved. But no, this was a demon in this woman that was telling or preaching the gospel. And Paul didn't like it, and it says this woman did this for many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Now, he didn't say to the woman. He said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, then, you got to realize that we as Christians, Paul was a normal Christian. Paul had this power over these evil spirits. Jesus clearly told you and me, in Luke 10:19-20, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power or authority to trample on the serpent and his scorpions, or Satan and his demons. All power is given to you over them. They shall in no wise hurt you. He said, nevertheless, rejoice not in this, that the evil spirits have to be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names were written in heaven. Now, that is a mighty thing to learn, that you and me, just like Paul, when Paul turned to that spirit in that woman, had that spirit of divination and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. He said that spirit came out. Now, you and I have that very same power over these evil spirits. Don't let these beasts intimidate you, because that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to beat up on you and convince you that they have power over you and you have no power over them. But it's just exactly the opposite. They have no power over you, and you have all power over them. So when you speak in faith in the name of Jesus and command these evil spirits to come out, they have to come out. We just had a woman the other day that had a spirit in church in a healing school that manifested and started screaming, and I just was cool and calm as I could be, and I told that devil to come out of her in the name of Jesus. And it didn't take me just a few minutes. We got that woman completely set free. Praise the King. At one of our healing schools. We teach a healing school 2 Saturdays a month in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Go to our website, www.tlsm.org, and there you can order free audio and video teachings, and you can see where we're going to be speaking. You can see where our healing schools are, and everything we do is free. You don't have to sign up for nothing. Just come. And if you'd like to have audio,